This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Thanks to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Dan Patrick Show. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it all. Also, breaking ground on NIL, they've got some of the biggest names in college sports. They had Caitlin Clark in there, Angel Reese, and a lot of the upcoming NFL and NBA first-round draft picks. And if you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net with some of the first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. And the best trading card brands, Prism, Select, Donruss, and so many more. And for those NFL draft fans, get real-time trading cards after players are picked with Panini Instant Cards, celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Dan Patrick Show.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
I hope you had a great weekend. Everybody's here ready to go, including Todd. Yours truly. Phone calls always welcome on Monday. Best and worst of the weekend. What you saw that you liked, you didn't like. Some crazy, crazy football. And it started Friday night with Colorado up big on Stanford. And I'm going to guess a lot of people didn't realize until the next morning that Stanford pulled off one of the bigger surprises of the college football season. 877-3DP-SHOW. Operator Tyler standing by to take your phone calls. Good morning if you're watching on Peacock. Thank you. Downloading the app. Ross Tucker, our good buddy, will recap the NFL weekend. David Pollack, former NFL defensive lineman and was a member of College Game Day for such a long period of time. He'll join us coming up as we recap college football as well. Play of the day, poll question, stat of the day, all of that forthcoming. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter. It's a recap of the show every single day, Monday through Friday at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. Also, and it's really easy to sign up, go to danpatrick.com. Just put in your email address in the box that slides out, bottom right corner, and we'll keep you apprised of a lot of things going on, including the latest batch of Tailgate Moonshine that should drop sometime next week. All right, Seton, you got a poll question for us to start out with today.
Yeah, Dan, I think we'll go with sort of what we do on Mondays. Who had the worst weekend? Let's just go negative, right, 90 seconds into the show.
All right.
USC had a bad weekend. Yeah. That was tough.
Yeah.
I don't know who the weekend was worse for. Was it worse for Lincoln Riley? Was it worse for Caleb Williams? Oh.
Well, Caleb Williams, I think, shorter term of he probably lost his chance for the Heisman. Unless Michael Penix has one of those games, but that was an important game for Caleb Williams. National TV, that's your Heisman moment. He's already had Heisman moments, but it feels like he's got to do even more to impress us this year than last year. And three interceptions at Notre Dame. I mean, it's just not a good team, and certainly not a good defense. And this is more of a rebuild than I think Lincoln Riley thought it was going to be, or maybe the analyst and alumni thought it was going to be. I think it's more of a rebuild than a reload there. And Caleb Williams can come back, but I'm wondering, I don't think he'll come back. But I think we're looking at USC differently. You know, just the USC image didn't look good at South Bend. You know, they got roughed up. And I'll ask David Pollack, I mean, is it talent or is it technique? Is it philosophy? What is it? But Notre Dame played well. And you can't help but think about that Notre Dame loss to Ohio State. Because if they had that win with a big win like this against USC, and yes, they did have the Louisville loss, but they'd still be in the national title picture. Cowboys, by the way, -1.5 at the Chargers coming up tonight. What other candidates will be on the poll question, Seton?
Coach Prime in Colorado. Yee-chee-alley.
Wow. Well, Notre Dame was favored, so I wasn't surprised Notre Dame won. Maybe as convincing of a win, maybe that was a little bit of a surprise. Colorado was up 29-0. Stanford's not good. Coach Prime, even on a Friday night where he didn't want to be playing on a Friday night. Man, you can't blow a lead like that, can you? By the way, Dylan, graphics guy, part of the Dan Patrick Takes a Gamble, took Stanford money line against Colorado. I don't think too many handicappers did that, but Dylan, the graphics guy, along with Bad Larry and Shea and Irving, part of the podcast, and Dylan did well with the money line there. Who else do we have as a candidate, Seton?
We have got the Philadelphia Eagles. Mm.
Paulie called it. Paulie said, hey, how crazy would this be? Jets over the Eagles. Eagles, even though they're a really good team, they haven't looked like a really good team. You keep waiting for that sort of, oh, okay, that's the Eagles. And, you know, the Jets defense, the Jets don't have their best defensive backs. One of their, or two of their best linemen, and they shut down the Eagles. That was amazing. But they are, them and the Cleveland Browns are two great defenses there. But the Jets didn't even have, like Sauce Gardner wasn't there. And you're going to beat that Eagles team? That was a little bit surprising. Browns over the Niners, that defense is lockdown defense. And I know, I heard it from people, oh, you were talking up Brock Purdy. I said, yes, yes, he's done well.
He was exposed.
I know. It's like, oh, what happened to your MVP? And I go, he's not my MVP. I'm just saying he's played well. He had a bad game. Quarterbacks have bad games.
He had a bad game and still should have won.
He still put his team in a position to win the game on the road. Now, you're going against a Cleveland team that doesn't have their running back, didn't have their starting quarterback, but Niners lost, you know, Deebo Samuel, Christian McCaffrey to injuries. And, you know, that's one of those, you look back and you go, how did that happen? There's always a couple of those games for teams where you go, how did that happen? Well, that's one of those games for the 49ers where you go, what? Going cross country and you start early and all of a sudden Cleveland stayed in it. Yeah, Mark.
Remember, they lost to the Bears week one last season.
Yeah.
So this isn't anything new.
Yeah.
We have a side poll off of that poll,
whoa,
actually.
Whoa.
Which quarterback had a worse day, Brock Purdy or Deshaun Watson?
Wow.
Yeah. When you don't even hit the field and it's your worst performance of the year.
Yeah. By the way, this first hour brought to you by Discover Cashback Debit. It's a checking account that rewards everyone with cashback on everyday purchases with no fees. Great stuff. Check out eligibility and terms at discover.com/cashbackdebit. Discover Bank, member FDIC. Stat of the day is always brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. Any other poll questions that we may have for the first hour, Seton?
Yeah, of course, Dan. We got poll questions. We could swing it around to be the best if you want to end this segment on a little bit of a positivity note.
Who had
the best weekend instead of the worst weekend? Who had the best weekend? Mm-hmm. The Cleveland Browns certainly had a good weekend. I don't know if it was the best of the weekend. The Jets, that's a hell of a win. That's about as good a weekend as they can have, huh?
Yeah, I think they're okay with Zach Wilson. I said, you know what? I would not be trading for Kirk Cousins. Just don't lose the game for us. And he didn't against pretty good team.
I thought they were supposed to win now.
The Jets?
Yeah. You loaded up for this year. You're supposed to win now.
Well, I kept wondering, one guy shouldn't make this much of a difference with Aaron Rodgers going down. You should be a good team, and you're seeing them that they are a good team. They can be a great team with Aaron Rodgers. They're still just a good team if Zach Wilson plays okay. What else you have, Seton?
How about Notre Dame? That's a great weekend.
Yep, they needed that one. They needed that. You lose to Louisville. They needed that one.
I would actually say Marcus Freeman over Notre Dame.
Well,
he needed that.
Yeah,
he
probably
needed that one.
That was a perception victory. Like, okay, all right, things are okay. I think people get a little nervous with that. You know, with the play calling, the decisions that they had in the Ohio State game, and then you get roughed up against Louisville. You know the team that I still can't buy into, and every year it feels like I say the same thing about this time, North Carolina. Like, I'm not sure. I watch, I go, okay, I like the running game, I like the quarterback. I go, all right. And then they'll eventually, you know, break your heart, it feels like. And there'll be like seven guys in the NFL from North Carolina. Like, I don't know. If you look the ratio of how good a team was to how many players they send to the NFL, North Carolina would be in the top 10. Because you'd go, wait, he was at North Carolina? Wait. Julius Peppers, Albert Haynesworth, wait, those guys? It's always like, yeah. And they got like seven pros off a team. Yeah, Paulie.
I saw some stat about UNC football that they played the toughest first half schedule so far because they don't take any, you know, bye weeks. They played South Carolina, App State, which is a good team, Minnesota out of conference, Pitt, Syracuse, Miami. And the funny thing is they, you know, somewhat control their own destiny. They got to beat Duke in 3 weeks. That's their next, the big one.
Mm. Oh, I love that, North Carolina against Duke. So Washington over Oregon, that was a lot of fun to watch. And I did not agree with coaching decisions by Dan Lanning. At the end of the first half, kick a field goal. And I know Booger McFarland at halftime said, no, this game, you got to score touchdowns. I just don't want to miss out on points. So that's three. And then they had another decision to go down on fourth down, being so aggressive. All right. I like it. I don't know if I understand the analytics as much as these. You know, a lot of it comes down to feel. Do we have a good play? How do we feel going up to the line? Because you can have a great play during the week, but when you get into game time situation where there's live bullets, do you have the right play? You know, and you know, on the road. By the way, the Oregon uniforms. If you like aluminum foil, that was a nice look. I just don't think you can have a big game against Washington and do an experimental uniform. This is where you got to bring back Oregon. Now, as Seton said, what are Oregon's colors? Like, what are their uniforms? Like,
what is that traditional uniform we're looking for again? Because I lost that thread.
Yeah, is it green? Is it all green? There was no green, no yellow in those uniforms.
You know, like classic Oregon, you know, that one. No.
Yeah, just like Penn State. You know, they have that classic uniform. No, they don't. What else? Yes, Paulie.
And Washington was popping. They got the gold. They got the purple. They look like Washington. If you turn that game, you're like, who are they playing? The Oreo Blizzards? It just didn't look like Oregon at all.
Yeah.
And I think that cost them the game. More so. Yes, it did.
It was a uniform.
Yes.
Yeah, uniform issue. Yeah. I love the purple. I love UW. I love the atmosphere.
On the water.
If you ever get a chance to go, it's a wonderful, wonderful. Unless you're a visiting team, it's a wonderful setting there. Yes, Todd?
How is it possible that the Jets had not beaten the Eagles ever in the history of both of those teams' franchise until last night?
But I don't think they started playing until like 1973.
It just sounded so beyond odd.
Yes.
For teams that have been in existence that many years, that they would never have beaten them once before.
So they had lost their first 12 games against Philadelphia. That dates back to 1973.
Woo! Ow! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! This is the stat of the day.
Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of this program. Tampa Bay, they brought out Creamsicle. You know, when you play well, it's interesting how a uniform looks a whole lot better when you play well. And then when you don't, and you're like, oh, my God. And it was that, oh, my God. Look at the Creamsicle out there. But, well, see, it always, I have flashbacks because I always remember when they wore those uniforms when they first came into the NFL, when they were terrible. When I see that color, I go, Oh, no, no, no. It's not 1976 with Steve Spurrier at quarterback. Yes, Paul.
So as an homage, they played like the late 70s Buccaneers. Like, we're going to really embrace it. But you know what's funny about this? Everyone loves those Buccaneers uniforms now. They were not embraced. And you know this, Dan.
No,
they were
not.
They were considered like soft and Florida-ish. And,
yeah.
And they were not cool at the time. The public didn't like them. It's like they're cool now.
All right, let me take a break. We'll get phone calls coming up. David Pollack will help us understand what happened over the weekend in college football. And Ross Tucker will stop by as well. Some strange numbers, like the number 19. How many teams scored 19 points yesterday in the NFL? Felt like there were there three? Todd, you're into numerology.
I love my numerology. I have to check. But there were, I think, at least three 19-point games.
Thank you, Todd.
You're welcome.
Okay. The Chiefs scored 19. That was Thursday. The Vikings scored 19. The Browns scored 19. Okay. And those teams won. When's the last time three teams scoring 19 points in a week? No, I don't know. Nobody cares. Maybe I do.
No, people care, though.
No, I was trying to get excited about, like, oh, my God, this is a stat that's going to go viral. I don't know. Nobody cares. All right, we'll take a break. Just getting started here. Settle on a poll question, and we're back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com, or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
You've probably put this off long enough. It's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has the tires that will elevate your game. Touring tires for commuting comfort. How about performance tires for sporty handling? All terrain if you're going on and off-road adventuring. Go to TireRack.com and get started. You're not sure where to begin? I suggest the easy-to-use tire decision guide. Get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how and what and where you drive. Choose from the full lineup of BF Goodrich tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you, or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They bring the tires to your home or office and install them on site. Go to TireRack.com/Dan. See their BF Goodrich test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews. And be sure to keep an eye out for the current special offers. Great tires and a great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Dan. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. David Pollack used to be on College Game Day and former NFL player and All-American at Georgia, and kind enough to join us on the program. All right, let me start with Oregon and Washington. Some of the game-time decisions, late-game decisions there with Dan Lanning. How do you explain his philosophy?
I don't know. I don't have an explanation for you, Dan. I'm sitting there going like, what are we doing? I mean, I get it, and listen – Oregon and Dan Lanning, like they want to be aggressive, right? Like that's their mindset, and aggressive. I think there's a fine line between aggressive and reckless. And I think that was a little bit reckless when you're at midfield, you know, around that area. I don't know, man. I don't think they had a lot of confidence to stop Michael Penix Jr. And probably rightfully so. And you saw he scored, and then they had time to go down and try to kick a field goal to tie it. And maybe that was the thought process that you weren't going to do it, but man, oh man. And listen, these analytics, Dan, they drive me nuts. I mean, it's just strange to watch. Like you're sitting there watching. There was another game I'm watching, and the Falcons game yesterday. And you're going, they're down by 14, and they score with 14 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and they go for two. And I'm like, what are we doing? Like, I know that little sheet of paper says if they kick a field goal, and then we do this, and if we get it, I think sometimes we outthink it, man. I think I'm punting the football, trying to down him inside the one, get a few sacks, rush him a little bit, make something happen. It was an interesting decision by Oregon.
What do you take away from Washington and Michael Penix Jr.?
I tell you what, man, I knew coming into the game Oregon was going to have a better run game. I thought it would be easier for them. I thought the Oregon's up front would win a lot more. But do you see the ball placement that he plays with? I mean, first of all, the lefty just looks fun. It just looks good coming out. Like it looks sweet. But the ball placement, the weapons out wide at wide receiver, I think they're going to be a tough out. And listen, if you look across college football, I don't think Washington's defense is elite. But again, are we comparing them to everybody else? Where I can poke holes in everybody. There's not a single team in this playoff picture this year that I can go, that's a dominant team on both sides of the football. So when you have him and you have those weapons and you have an offense, I think that they're going to have a shot to do what they want. Listen, the schedule sets up great too. If you haven't been to Washington, by the way, that's a tough place to play, man. Like they are a rabid fan base. Like it is very in the South feel to it. Like it's nuts, and they've got a great schedule at home. So if you think Washington's a purple flash in the pan, you're wrong.
How does USC not have a defense?
I mean, okay, so your defensive philosophy leaves a lot to be questioned. You know, they believe in stunting up front, you know, the majority of the time. They believe in playing deep coverage. You know, the way they've recruited, obviously, you know, you can tell that a lot of the bullets go to the other side of the football, which is fine. But a system that is, you know, listen, if you want to be honest, it's just not the system that builds a lot of, you don't see a lot of toughness. I don't see a lot of physicality, let's put it that way, on both sides of the line of scrimmage. And we've seen over the years, whether you spread it out and put more emphasis on quarterbacks and speed and the outside, in the end, if I got guys that can win in the trenches, I can change the numbers advantage that everybody likes to play with. And I just don't see a lot of, you know, blocking for Caleb Williams up front was a struggle. The defensive line stopping the run and getting a consistent pass rush was a struggle.
But so is the it line talent, of scrimmage, David, is it talent that they're lacking, or is it philosophy that they're lacking?
I don't think they have a lot of depth of talent up front, but I do think the philosophy needs to continue to be tweaked. So I will say that I think they could do more with what they have.
Talking to David Pollack, Georgia looks vulnerable. Like it feels like there's not a great team. So you handicap your alma mater.
Well, Brock Bowers being banged up changes it too. Yeah. Let's see what comes out about him, but I would be surprised if he's back in the next couple weeks. And they're an offensive team. I think they're a team that you're going to have to depend on Carson Beck, he's a flamethrower. Like that dude's got an arm, he's got poise, he's got weapons with McConkey, and you see Ra-Ra Thomas starting to come on, you know, another a transfer from Mississippi State. So I think they're good enough to score with anybody. Stopping people is going to continue to be a challenge. You saw it with Vanderbilt again. I mean, the defense is, if you turn on a game the last 2 years and you watch Georgia's defense and you turn it on now, you're like, what happened? And here's the thing. You don't have runs like that. Like all of those guys that you saw during those 2 year run, they're all playing on Sundays. If you turn the tape on, like you start watching Sundays, like, oh yeah, I remember that guy. That guy played defense at Georgia. I mean, all 11 of the defensive starters for the first national championship, they all got drafted. So I mean, it's just, it's going to look different. But if you look at the schedule, Ole Miss is going to be a problem. A running quarterback with a system that can also run the football, throw the football a little bit more. But again, that's at home. Missouri is their next toughest game. That's at home. So it is a tough place to go to walk into with that crowd, that noise, that atmosphere. It's tough for anybody to go in there and win.
Colorado's up big on Stanford. A lot of people probably turned that off. It was at Friday night. How big a story is Colorado now in college football?
I think the people that wanted to line up and take shots at Deion, it's a big story for them now. Like they're excited about that. But man, that was a colossal failure the other night. I mean, that was, you know, you're up 29-0 on an anemic offense in Stanford. You know, you built your team around a Travis Hunter type guy who got beat all night and just got beat all. And listen, the thing I would say watching that is, okay, if I'm Colorado, at what point do I go, I'm up 29. Let's run the football. Let's eat some clock. Let's not play fast. Like, it didn't make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, but you're not expecting Stanford to come back, though. I mean, I guess in fairness to Deion and Colorado, they want to continue to, you know, put up big numbers there, let everybody see what they're doing there. I don't think they were thinking, you know, Stanford could come back. We got to run the clock.
Well, and then you look up and you say, see what happened was. I mean, so like, and that's the thing, man. Do you want style points? Sure. If you want style points, let it rip. But man, I want to win football games. And when you lose to it, when you have this and you're trending and you beat TCU, and obviously that's not like a big win now. We see that. TCU is not a great football team. But when you start to build momentum, here's the thing. It's easy to build momentum in the beginning of something. Like a lot of coaches come in and build momentum and build energy. The hardest thing to do is sustain it. And when you start losing to 1-4 Stanford, and now the ship looks a little bit different, and creating that tidal wave of recruiting and creating the energy and the buzz, man, it's hard to continue to do. You only kind of get that one shot at it. And I think this kind of takes them down a notch and puts a little chink in the armor.
Good to talk to you as always, David. Thank you for joining us.
Great to talk to you, Dan. Say, Bob.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hi, this is Jay Glazer, and you may know me from the world of football or fighting or even shows like HBO's Ballers. What you don't know is for my entire life, I have lived in something I refer to as the gray. Depression, anxiety. So now I'm coming out with a new podcast, Unbreakable, a mental health podcast with Jay Glazer, where each week, while we talk about mental health, I hope to describe it, give it words. Listen to Unbreakable with Jay Glazer on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win, but that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
You've probably put this off long enough. It's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has the tires that will elevate your game. Touring tires for commuting comfort. How about performance tires for sporty handling? all-terrain if you're going on and off-road adventuring. Go to TireRack.com and get started. You're not sure where to begin? I suggest the easy-to-use tire decision guide. Get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how and what and where you drive. Choose from the full lineup of Kumho tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you, or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They bring the tires to your home or office and install them on site. Go to TireRack.com/Dan to see their Kumho test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews. And be sure to check out all the current special offers. Great tires and a great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Dan. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Ross Tucker, Westwood One CBS Sports NFL and college football analyst and the host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Also, social media, at Ross Tucker NFL. He was on the call for the Giants and the Bills on Westwood One last night. How do you feel if you're the Buffalo Bills today, Ross?
I think you feel very, very relieved, Dan, because the Giants down at the one-yard line. Really, we could talk about the end of the first half for the whole segment, but then at one-yard line at the end of the game, they have a couple opportunities there. Can you? I mean, I was in the stadium, obviously. Can you imagine if Waller catches that, or maybe they throw a pass interference penalty, Giants get another play, and then they score? Just the air that would have went out of that stadium. There's a huge difference between being 4-2 and 3-3. I think they feel very, very relieved and thankful that they escaped with a win.
The commissioner was talking about maybe London hosting a Super Bowl in the foreseeable future. Are we more likely to have a team in London first or a Super Bowl in London?
I think probably a Super Bowl, actually. I think there's a lot of logistical issues with putting a team over there. I think they're kind of dipping their toes in the water a little bit with having the Jags play back-to-back games over there.
Would you want to play in London?
As a player?
Yeah.
Absolutely, Dan. But I am the exception, not the rule, right? So, like, my wife and I have talked about that. I would have loved that. I mean, we have the perspective of it's a really short time in your life. Maybe it's a two-year deal, three-year deal. For me, it was a lot of one-year situations. So to be over there, heck yeah, man. I mean, when I played for the Patriots in the offseason, my wife and I, every weekend, we went to Cape Cod or Martha's Vineyard, Nantucket. It was awesome, right? We were in our 20s. It was fabulous. I would have loved to have played for London, had that international experience for a couple of years. But to be fair, Dan, most guys are not like me. Most guys do not have that same perspective. Most guys have no interest in playing or living overseas.
How do you think the fans would react to a Super Bowl in London?
I think there'd be a lot of negativity here in the States because of the belief that, hey, why would there be a game in London when there's never been one in Chicago, when there's never been one in Philadelphia? I think you would probably get a lot of that reaction. And I understand that, but I'll say this, Dan, I'm totally in favor of it. And I'll tell you why. You guys know how I feel about football. Like, I love it. Like, I love it more than almost anything other than my family. Think about all of the kids around the world that play soccer and think that that's like the most fun sport to play. I mean, think about that. Now, I think soccer's great. I played soccer, Dan, from when I was like 6 years old till I was 11. It's a fun sport. But once you put a helmet and shoulder pads on and run into another kid and knock him over, that's the greatest feeling ever. You don't ever want to go kick a soccer ball again the rest of your life. Once you, I don't know anybody that went, played soccer, then played football, then went back to soccer. So anything we can do internationally to spread the game, I am big time in favor of, because I want more people internationally to get a chance to play. Heck, I did the Vanderbilt Georgia game for CBS on Saturday. Three of Vanderbilt's defensive linemen are from Europe. One's from the UK, two from Germany. I think it's awesome. They are doing a good job of growing the game internationally.
Yeah, I just wonder what the reaction. Why would the commissioner bring this up? Like, there's no, you know, coincidence. I mean, he doesn't do throw-ins and, hey, I'm just talking off the cuff here. Why is the commissioner bringing up the possibility of a Super Bowl in London?
I think two reasons. Number one, to gauge the feedback, right? So let's say you talk about it today. People call in and they're furious about it. I think they just want to know just how bad it would be if they ever elected to make that decision. The other thing is, I think it generates even more interest internationally about it, right? I'm sure that got picked up all over Europe, that the commissioner of the NFL says the biggest sporting event in America might get exported to Europe. You know, and that's exactly what he's probably going for. I think it's smart.
We're talking to Ross Tucker, Westwood One, CBS sports analyst. What about Buffalo getting a Super Bowl?
Well, they're getting a new stadium.
That's why usually, I wonder. Yeah, you build a stadium.
Yeah, it's kind of been a quid pro quo there, Dan, where it's like, all right, you guys give us the public funding for the new stadium, we'll give you one Super Bowl. Now, I know they don't like the idea of weather impacting the game, but then that doesn't bother me at all, first of all. I love football and weather like that. And secondly, could it be worse than the Chiefs and the Eagles sliding all over the place in the grass or whatever they were calling that out in Arizona? Now, I'll say this. You know, I went to the Minnesota Super Bowl where the Eagles won and they beat the Patriots, and I'm glad Minnesota got a Super Bowl. For all the people that come to the game, it is nicer if you're in nice weather. I mean, seeing you guys last year in Arizona at that ballpark you guys are at, that's better than, you know, freezing our butts off in Minnesota. That's objectively better.
Worst loss of the weekend by who?
Ooh. Well, I think on the NFL side, maybe the Eagles, just because, you know, the Niners had already lost. So it was like the Eagles had that chance to get that game up on them. They were up by two scores against Zach Wilson and the Jets. Yeah. And to go -4 in turnover ratio. But I'm going to give you a different one, Dan. I actually think the worst loss of the weekend was the Colorado Buffaloes Friday night. I mean, because it was the only game on. They're up 29-0 at halftime. There's so much buzz around them. And because everybody went to bed at halftime, Dan, it was
so,
like...
So did Colorado.
I know. But it's so funny because it was like the thing we... Everybody had the exact same reaction when they woke up Saturday morning. Like, wait, what? They lost? it continued the conversation for all of Saturday morning until the next game started. And so what had been sort of a feel-good story is now, okay, now they've lost however many games, and now they have a really bad loss on their record.
Best win of the weekend?
Cleveland Browns. Cleveland Browns, yeah. I mean, first of all, they have the best defense in the NFL right now. And I don't know that I can remember another unit or a side of the ball having a total 180. Dan, they were terrible on defense last year. Like, real, real bad. And now they got the best defense in the NFL right now with the way they're playing, or certainly one of the two or three best. To win a game without Watson, to stay in the mix, this at least – lets them. It's interesting too, because I think the guys in Cleveland and in New York with the Jets are both kind of on the hot seat. I think they both need to win this year. So to win the way in which they did against undefeated teams, but I'll say Cleveland just because the Niners have been on so much of a roll.
The Browns have allowed just over 1,000 yards, the fewest by any team through the first five games of a season since the 1971 Baltimore Colts.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty crazy there.
Yeah, I didn't know that stat. I was almost thinking, well, maybe the Niners defense or no, I guess statistically, because I knew Baltimore had a pretty decent game against them, but that is very, very impressive. I wonder if by the end of the year, we'll be talking about Jim Schwartz getting a second chance to be a head coach.
You know, some guys just aren't head coaches. You know this. Like all of those New England Patriot assistant coaches. I mean, that doesn't mean you should be a head coach.
And you know what, Dan?
Yeah.
It's a different job.
Yes.
It's a very different job. And I'm not saying this, like, Fritzy is great at what he does.
Good.
Paulie's great at what he does. Seton, Marvin, oh, but, like, just because Fritzy's the best guest booker out there doesn't mean he could go in your chair. I mean, that'd be amazing. I would love to see. I would definitely watch or listen to the whole episode if that happened. But that doesn't mean, like, doesn't mean someone else will be able to make it the, like, the Todd Fritz show and have him be doing it as maybe, much as everybody knows I love him.
Maybe one of these days Todd sits here and I'll sit over where Todd does.
That would be amazing. And so he can say, thank you, Dan.
Thank you, Dan. That would be that would be good. Bigger game tonight for the Cowboys or the Chargers?
I would say Cowboys. They can't go to 3-3 and lose back-to-back games like this. I mean, with the visions they have, because then they'll still be two games behind the Philadelphia Eagles. They got to bounce back after that Niners performance. They have to. So I'll say for the Cowboys, but maybe that's just because they're the Cowboys and we all talk about them so much.
Always good to talk to you. What games do you have this upcoming weekend?
Yeah, likewise, Dan, just some action on Saturday. I'm driving to Athens, Ohio. Never been there in my life. Western Michigan at Ohio U on Saturday on CBS Sports Network. And you know what? I love it just as much as Georgia Vandy on CBS or the Bills and the Giants last night. Like, I love it for all the reasons I love it.
Safe travels.
Thanks, man.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.